1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians and chapter number 2 this morning. Before you stand, I want you to do something this morning. Would you say, God, I want to let you speak to my heart about me. God, I don't want to have my thoughts on anybody else about me. And would you say this to God? I will respond to what you speak to me about. I will respond to what you speak to me about. Far too often, we want to delegate, and maybe I could use the word relegate, the thoughts, and we think, I hope so and so is listening. The words I'm about to say today run deep in my own soul, because I'd be guilty. And yet, oh God, may that not be. I want to speak to you today about the plague of the church. The plague of the church. Why don't you notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As we begin to read here, you will wonder why I am saying that. Chapter number 2, verse number 9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, O God, this morning you might speak to our hearts. O Lord, as one I heard this morning ask, that you would be very vivid in our hearts. Spirit of God, move amongst us. Teach us, convict us, illuminate your word. O God, convince us. Do that which only you can do. Lord, we place our dependence upon you for this, and we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. You may be seated. As I read chapter number 2, those latter verses that we read together, my heart is drawn to the fact that God and the Spirit of God wants to introduce you and to me the wonderful truths of the Word. It's tremendous that when you and I get saved, the Spirit of God comes and indwells us. And in that indwelling, He begins to teach us spiritual things. There are things that we can never understand, the world can never understand, because the Spirit of God must not dwell within. They are what is described in verse number 14 as spiritually discerned. But we have the wondrous ministry of the Spirit of God. But then we come to chapter number 3, and it's almost like there's a great gulf that is between these two chapters. As he says, I can't talk to you as unto spiritual people. He says, I have to deal with you as carnal, even like little babes in Christ. And so there's this gulf that seems to be here. And yet God, in His omniscience, begins verse number 1 of chapter 3 with the word and. He connects it very vividly. As the Apostle Paul understands that though they be carnal, the Spirit of God, he trusts, and somehow meet the need of their life. He says, I've fed you with milk. I could not give you any more because you are not able to bear it. He says, even at this present time, you're not able to bear some very wonderful spiritual truths. Notice verse number 3. The reason, he says, for you're yet what? Carnal. Understand, today there are two kinds of people in the world. There's saved and there's lost. There are those who are going to heaven and those who are not. There are those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and there are those who have not. That is the great divide between men. And yet we find that amongst God's people there is also a division. We find that division very drastically introduced to us in these two chapters. That is, there is the spiritual Christian and there is the carnal Christian. I said to you today that the topic of the message is the plague of the church. Very simply put, it is carnality. Carnality. The profession does not match the practice. Where love was to abide, we find in the Corinthian church there was strife. Notice what he says. You're yet carnal. Here's why I am saying that. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. If you go back chapter number 1, in verse number 11, he says this. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. It's interesting in the light of the book of John in chapter 17. And in verse number 21, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying. It is the great intercessory prayer of the Lord. And in that prayer, we find that the Lord is praying for His disciples, but He also says in that He is praying for all of those who shall believe. It is a prayer of intercession by our Savior for you and I before we are even born or reborn. And in that prayer, the Lord is asking that His people might be one. And the reason is that the world might see the love of God's people and be drawn to it. There are basically two commands in the Word of God. There's the command that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. That's what the Lord said. When the man came to Jesus and he said, what's the great commandment? And that's what our Lord said. We are to love God. All the commands concerning God can be wrapped up in that one consensus. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And it's not in part, but in totality. But the Lord goes on. He does not stop there, but He says, and the second is like unto it. And then He says, thou shalt what? Love one another. Thou shalt love one another. When you read the book of 1 John, John being what some has described as the apostle of love, you find that in that text, there are a number of things that he says you can have, maybe I could say proof, but you can realize and understand. If these things be in you, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You can know you're saved because these things are true in your life. And one of the things that he says is that there is a love for the brethren. And that's interesting. So God says we're to love Him and we're to love each other. Now look around. These folks you see are not always easy to love. But by the way, while you're looking, may we also recognize the mirror that ought to be in our hand, because the one looking at that is also very often difficult to love. Is that not true? How many in this room would say, "Preacher, I am perfect. I have all the qualities that make me a perfect individual"? No takers. How many in this room say, "Preacher, I have some unlovely traits about me"? Somebody said, "Oh, yeah. I don't know who it was, but I heard that." But you're not the only one. Those two gals you're separating right there are that way. The ones on the other side of them are that way. Those in front of you and those behind you, and that one standing before you is that way. We have unlovely characteristics. We don't like to admit them, do we? But we also know this, though we don't think about it very often. Every one of those characteristics is known by others. Interesting. Because we find here in the church at Corinth, there was divisions amongst them. What was the problem? There was carnality, the Apostle Paul said. And there was a problem that was occurring in between them. I have found that which projects carnality, that which causes the problems amongst God's people, sets right on the front of our face. It's our mouth. It's our mouth. I read the letter this week. The person who sent and asking their pastor. It was interesting. Why do these things happen? I've heard it many times in the past. I've heard it throughout the years. But as this particular letter was shared by another to me that had been received, the basic question was asked, why are sometimes those whom are our brethren in the church more malicious with our words than the lost world? Have you ever wondered that? Why is that? What brings that about? We get saved and we forget who saved us and how much He forgave us of, and can become very, very critical in our speech. I want us to think about this morning what lies in our tongue. Turn with the book of James, please, chapter 3. Book of James, chapter 3. I remember when I was a little boy, somebody would say something, and you know, somebody would shout back, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." How many could say, preacher, that is absolutely the truth. I have never had any words ever hurt me. Any takers? Just simply not a true statement. The words that we speak have the power to heal or to hurt. We have power in our words to help or to hinder. I want us to notice what he says. Chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. In other words, be careful where you set yourself above. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. He's making a comparison. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of herbs, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue, what does it say? Can no man tame? It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Notice what it says. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. What does he say? My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Our words have tremendous power. Unlike the Word of God that was able to call in existence that which did not exist, we do have power in our words. We have power to, through our words, to bring mending. We have power to maim. We have within our words and the language we speak the power to edify, as God teaches us what to do, or to execute our fellow man with the words we say. We have that ability within us. To demonstrate the power of our words and our language, I take you to the book of Revelation. In chapter 12 and verse number 11, chapter 12, verse 10 and 11, he says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Notice what it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you thankful? But listen to this next one. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Here we find that God is teaching us through the blood of Christ, through the words that we say, our testimony, through those things, we find, and the desire to live solely for God, they could what? Overcome the accuser. The accuser. First of all, it's interesting that accusations and accusing that we often do puts us in mighty, strange, terrible company. We have the ability to do powerful things with our words. I do not know what took place in Corinth. I do not know the exact things. But I've been around long enough to know that oftentimes we think things and we say things that often hurt rather than helping people. I've done it many times myself. I don't know about you, but I've also been helped by words. And I've also been hurt by words. The words that we speak, he said, we ought not bless God and curse man. These things ought not to be. It is the wrong position. So, preacher, how can I change my language? What is it? Well, the Apostle Paul really got to the core of this because the problem is your carnality. Rather than spirituality, it is carnality. You say, what do you mean by that? There are two things that can really generate the way we operate. Before we're saved, we operate in the power of the flesh. In other words, we do what we just want to do. God's given us a free will, and we can operate in that free will. Others may try to stop us, and we may give in and submit to that, but it's still our free will. And we live by what feels good. Somebody's called it the Burger King philosophy, or that we live in a Burger King world. Have it your own way. And we find that in our country, this is very deeply entrenched. However, when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live within. You see, you're made up of three parts. You are body, soul, and spirit. The body is obvious. You carry that thing around. That's what hurts you when you wake up in the morning when you get older. You know, sometimes it's advantageous, sometimes it's disadvantageous. There is times when I can reach the top shelf, and it's a wonderful thing to be doing so, but there's times the bottom shelf is mighty long ways away. But we live in the body. It's the shell. It's the home of the soul, if you please. And the soul is our affections. The soul is those loves and joys and all those cares. It's the seat of the emotions, if you please. And before we're saved, the body tells the soul what it wants. And you follow it.
Boy, this would make me feel really good. I want it.
I mean, we go in debt for it. Because of the cravings of the flesh that controls us. Now, a person gets saved, and now the Spirit is what? It's enlivened. Is that not true? You must be born again. You see, the Spirit was dead. It was not non-existent, but it did not have any function. It was not in tune, because the Spirit is that which is in tune with God. And when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us and enlivens our spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now we have, as a Christian, this Spirit of God, our spirit, in a position that wants to rule. And it should rule. But we have all been trained and experienced the flesh being that which rules us. Is that not true? Now we come, and all of a sudden, rather than just having one saying, say, this is what you're going to do, now we have two. We have the Spirit, but we still have that flesh. It's not gone away. It will one of these days. It's called death or rapture. To be present with the Lord is to be absent from the body and absent from all that the body what brings about. But you and I, as God's people, we have this wonderful spot now that sometimes is difficult, however. Because you have the Spirit that's seeking to what? Have domination. We have the flesh. Paul's looking at a group of individuals and he says, the problem you're having in your church is because of carnality. You're listening to your carnal flesh and there's problems between you. The way to find out if you're carnal is how you're getting along and how you're speaking of your brethren. Quite frankly. And so the problem is not as much the words as the heart. Because we find in the Word of God, the Bible teaches us that evil men out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. But it also says that a good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And he tells us this, for out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. The mouth speaketh. Does our mouth edify or execute our fellow brethren? It's a heart problem. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, book of Colossians. Notice verse number 8 and 9 with me. There's so much of this that goes together between Corinthians and Colossians and Galatians and throughout the Word of God. By the way, if there's two commands in the Word of God that are basic, we love God, we're to love our brethren, our fellow man, then does it not seem fit that the Word of God is dealing primarily with two subjects throughout its course? And basically, that's what it is. To learn to love God and to learn to love our fellow man. Who, by the way, Mary, like you, were not very lovely. Yeah. Notice verse number 8. He says, Now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now here he's talking about the old man, but he also in the next verse is going to talk about the new man. The old man is the carnal man. The new man is the spiritual man. And God is talking about how we need to put off one. But notice what he also reveals to us about the old man. It's mostly to do with our relationships. Mostly to do there. So there's things that need to be put away. That old carnal nature. Mary, you said it out loud and you said that was me that said it, so I'm picking on you this morning. In my own opinion, I don't think you're a nasty lady. I think you're a lovely lady. It's easier for me to look at you and to pick out your faults than to pick out the good traits. We are prone to that. It's easier for us to complain than to compliment. It's easier for us. And normally we like to take the easier road. It's that old nature, isn't it? Because that old nature wants to put self first. Anything that might be a little contrary to us, we are going to say something or think something concerning that. We have this in us. And as God's people, far too often, the carnality comes forth. What's the enemy of our churches? Carnality. How's it displayed itself most vividly? In the words we say. However, a new man puts on the new man through yielding himself to the Spirit of God. What a wonderful thing that is. However, if he does not continue in that, there's a strange thing that can take place. And that is, listen to these words. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he came, or when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." The Lord is describing something that is often true of God's people. We get saved, but we begin to walk, what, in that old way once again. And you know what we become? I heard an old preacher many years ago say this: Christians controlled by the flesh are worse than the natural lost man. Christians who are out of the will of God are more terrible, he said, in their actions than lost people. That is so often true. The question is asked, why are these things so? That person who wrote to their pastor, why do these things happen? Why does it? Because the flesh controls. There's only one way for the carnal Christian to have any change of heart that will change hurtful words. And it's very simply to yield to the Spirit of God. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse number 13 says, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." We're entering the freeway. There's a huge truck coming down the freeway. We have a choice to make. That choice can be, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm getting on this freeway no matter what. There's a few men in this room that drive these big trucks. I've noticed something about them. They don't move very easily. Try to shove one over with your car. You will be the loser. Isn't that true? What are we supposed to do? Yield. But we're all very prone to do something else. Because that big truck is coming, and the men who are sitting here can tell me this, most people are going to try to beat him. It was another small car. No big deal. Just fall in behind. It's a big truck. I'm going to beat him. If I had an invitation right now, most of you would have to come down here and get it right. You know what I'm talking about. Amen? We are that way. We're that same way often in this life as God's people. And we're not willing to yield to the Lord and allow Him to have complete control of our hearts. And so what happens is out of our heart flow things. And we can say some things that are horrible and hurtful. And we wonder, why is the cause of Christ not gaining in America? The problem is not God. The problem is our carnality. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5. Book of Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 14 says, "For all the law was fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor," how? "As thyself." Now it's interesting, the next verse, what he says. "But if ye" what? "Bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not" what? consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. We allow that old fleshly nature to make our decisions and to guide us, as opposed to having and allowing the Spirit of God to do so. It shows itself very vividly in the things we say, in what we talk about. Our speech is very seldom revolved around the things of God. Let's be honest. We come to the house of God and we speak of other things so often. We talk about the weather, we talk about football teams, we talk about baseball, we talk about our jobs. We talk about this, that, and the other thing. Let me ask you, seriously, when was the last time you came to church with a verse on your heart and you shared it with a friend? That was more important than the television show you watched last night. What's the problem? Our hearts are carnal. They manifest themselves in our words. I believe this morning that more than any other place, this is the target of Satan. The old adage, divide and conquer. How can he do it? Using our carnality rather than our spirituality. Rather than seeing things through the eyes of God, we go back to the old eyes of the flesh. So many of God's people could probably tell you the last episode of The World Churns better than they could describe to you Daniel chapter 5. They could probably give you the statistics of who won what on The Greatest Loser than to be able to recite to you a scripture verse. Why is that? We allow our minds to be in the wrong place. We allow it to keep being fed as opposed to the heart. And it manifests itself through the words we say. Out of the mouth is expressed the abundance of the heart. He said, by their words, they would condemn themselves. We need to inspect our words. It would tell us a lot about ourselves. Now the common thing is, yeah, I heard blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not talking. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. This isn't somebody else across the room. This is about us. It's carnality as opposed to spirituality. And the world goes to hell. There's not a person in this room that's saved that doesn't want to see others saved. That's one of the things that desire of your heart. But quite frankly, we don't get as excited about that because we have carnal aspirations. We would get more excited about winning the lottery. By the way, why are you buying those tickets? Than we would about the things of God. Yeah. Oh God, did they work in our hearts? Lord, I pray you speak to us. Oh God, may we understand that often, rather than helping, we're hurting. And the reason is because our heart is in the wrong place. It's not been meditating on the things of God. It's not been considering the Spirit of God and the works of God. Oh, Spirit of God, move upon us. Bring that conviction to our soul that changes us. Oh God, there ought not ever be in any church of God one who asks, why are these things like this? Why do we treat one another the way we do? Why do we say the things that we say? Oh God, work in our hearts. I pray that you bless in these moments. Have your way and will. Lord, be receptive, but not only receptive, responsive. Allowing you those things. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.